Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Sala, here's Alex Gravatt.
It is a victory Monday. On 100.5 ESPN, the Badgers win it 52-6 against Purdue. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions and NFLers Tarek Sala and Derek Engler and the grandfather of Jake Ferguson, the tight end 4 in fantasy points per game. That is Barry Alvarez. Barry, coach, how you doing today?
I'm awesome, man. That was a great weekend for me. 2 big wins in state. Went and was at Jake's game in Pittsburgh last night. Watched the Cowboys win. Watched him play. So it was a great weekend.
It was a great weekend, but also sounds like it was a fun one for Jake, as it was one Badger versus a handful of Badgers on that Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
It was. He said it was like an old Wisconsin scrimmage for him. You know, you think about it, both edge players for the Steelers or Wisconsin guys get Benton at nose guard. So. He kept running them. He said he really had a lot of fun playing in the game. All of them did.
Absolutely. He had 6 for 7 receptions on for 70 yards. Pretty good day for him. Did you guys play a lot of your former teammates once you got to the league, Tarek, Derek?
A few.
Yeah.
Not
that many, though.
You know, actually, Tarek, Mike Thompson was with the Browns.
Yeah.
I played against him. He tried to get me to last coming up to the line of scrimmage. You know, there's some other guy, Don Davey, of course, when he was down in Jacksonville. You know, there's a few guys that I played against
Joe Panos. And
did you?
Yeah, well, one story was, you know, so Doug Flutie was quarterback, and I actually played in this game.
You're old.
And I drop back into coverage, and then Doug takes off right up the middle of the field. So I run over, and he's like 160 pounds. So I'm going one way. I tackle him, and then I kind of kick him up and throw him, and he goes about 5 yards, right? They throw a flag on me, but it was just like momentum. And then all of a sudden, Ostrowski, one of those guys, this big ogre of an offensive lineman, he starts going after me, protect
the quarterback.
And I'm like, dude, come on. You know, and I'm like, back on. And I'm young, and I'm like, I can't get another penalty. I already got one. And I'm like, that's, you know, BS, because that was not intentional, and I didn't mean to throw him. He's so light. And I go, Doug, you know it. You know it. Tell him back off. And I go, Panos, tell him to back off. Panos kind of whatever. He kind of didn't talk to me in the time, but it was fun. Well, it's fun playing against your former players.
That sounds good. That sounds good. I love to hear it. And then one other guy I want to shout out, Andrew Van Ginkle, had a pick 6.
Oh, yeah.
I think if I'm not mistaken, he's 3rd in the NFL in interceptions on the season. So Wisconsin Badgers are doing all right now. And they did really well on Saturday.
Well, the Bears, Sanborn and the other guy, they have like 10 tackles.
T.J. Edwards. Zach Bond. I mean, you know, you think about that and where our linebackers are today. We need to get back to that type of talent.
Oh, God.
Because, they're everywhere. You turn on Sunday, the red zone, you're going to find a Badger at linebacker.
Absolutely. And the Badgers – okay, so the Badgers – linebacking core looked a little better this past week, but everyone looked better. It was Purdue, and Purdue is not so good.
Let me tell you this now. They lost contain again, but then I look at football in general. People just lose contain all the time. It's just that some people have the luxury of losing contain, and they have better athletes to make up for it. But we don't.
Well, here's the thing. Our philosophy, and you playing that position, you know, if you lose contain in our system – I mean, it's like the end of the world. I mean, you got everybody coming after you, because we had to keep, you know, with our athletes, we want to keep in our whole structure of the defense, you have to keep the ball inside of you. You can't get it outside on the edge. So you have to contain it. I watch it every week. My wife even yells now, they don't even contain. Because <You know? laughs> she's heard me say it. So she didn't even know what it means, but she yells it. But the I so many defenses now, that, you know, I think they're so concerned about rushing the passer, they don't worry about containment or getting hooked.
No question. And then when you coach, when you're rushing the passer, you lose contain there. Then if it's to the field, some of these guys, these quarterbacks are better athletes. And then you just give them all the time in the world to throw the ball, and it's crushing. But I guess we're just into scoring points now.
Well, I mean, we better keep doing what we did Saturday because that's what was to be expected. I don't think Purdue is – I don't think they're worse than South Dakota or Western Michigan, you know. And so that was really refreshing to see that.
We did what offensive, we're supposed to do, right?
Amen. Amen. And the offensive line dominated. You had three penalties. We were 9 or 10 of 15 for third and fourth down conversions versus 8 of 30 in the previous two games.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, you can't discount scoring points and getting the team
staying
in
on
rhythm.
The field, keeping the defense off the field.
Yeah, you know, that was not a great Purdue team, but still, it was equal to the, as you said, the other, couple of the other teams that we have beaten, and you dominated and played like we did, which shows marked improvement in so many areas. I was impressed. I thought it was something we really needed for confidence and momentum as we move into the conference.
I heard some of the analysts on TV talking about that Purdue team where they're surprised because apparently they got some talent, and I don't know if it's coaching or what, but it's obviously not, the production's not on the field. So, you know, I mean, I don't think they are any worse than South Dakota or Western Michigan. So that is exactly what we expect, and you know, it's momentum going out to a very tough Rutgers team, and we're going to have to out-physical them.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, the Badgers did not allow a sack on Saturday, which is a fantastic thing. When
not only that, but we're talking 8 seconds.
And that's exactly it. Ryan Walters, the Purdue head coach, came out and said, like, I don't believe that the college quarterbacks are good enough to beat good man coverage. And so you send the dogs. Now, a couple of the plays that they scored on were against zone, which is fantastic. You know, you can't do exclusively person defense, but I think that there's good reason to believe that the offensive line can hold up against Purdue, or sorry, not Purdue, but the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. But what do they need to bring into that next game that they had against Purdue coming up against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights?
Well, I mean, Coach, you know this. I mean, you got to win the turnover battle. I would say the one criticism, you don't like those two picks. I think we're even, again, in the turnover battle. I think we've got to win that turnover battle. And really, Rutgers is a tough football team. We're going to have to out-physical them.
Yeah, they've been physical. Shiano has brought that hard-nosed brand of football. Their defense is going to be very physical. So we're going to have to go in there knowing that we're going to have to knuckle up with them and be just as physical. And then, you know, look at the explosives we had. But we haven't seen that many in a long time.
Big place.
I mean, have guys that can do that.
I mean, I like, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, growing up young, my dad on Saturday mornings, my mom would be out grocery shopping, and he'd have a V8, and I like my V8 on this Badgers team. That guy is Vinny Anthony, number 8. Like him, and I'll tell you what. And my dad would pour a half a beer in the V8 too, because probably Friday night. But you know, we had to do our chores, we had to do all this stuff, and then we'd watch college football. He put the appetizers out and all that stuff. But I really
like. How
about
your guy CJ? He came up with some big plays.
CJ had a
so now they have four guys that are all catching the ball, and you know, options. So, look, the offensive line, they've been pretty consistent now and gaining momentum. So, it's going
to be
critical. I like
the way they're protecting the quarterback, this backup quarterback. I really do. I like the way they protected at USC. I like the way they protected against Alabama's front. I'm really impressed with Coach Blazek, what he's come in here and done in his first year with that offensive line compared to last year. Coach, we talked a lot about that. That's to me, and being a former offensive lineman, I'm impressed.
And
with
as
that.
A coach, you always look for improvement, and I think you'd agree with me. That's a segment of our football team, the offensive line, that continues to improve.
I saw a freshman out there, that 55, the kid from California.
Oh, the big boy.
They put him out there.
Yeah.
They got young offensive linemen, so they're trending in the right direction.
Absolutely. Now, we haven't even mentioned yet. Braden Locke had a career day. It was a top 10 passing performance in Badger history with 359 yards. It didn't start out super pretty, but it did finish off very well, specifically that third quarter because he was sitting by 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So do you think that was more of a schematic win, or do you think that was more him really coming into his own?
I think he had a lot of time to throw the ball, and that presented a lot of opportunity to take advantage of, and I think he took what they gave him, and he's a good thrower.
And
so
Tekahuna made some plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he made some plays for him. I mean, yards after catch, you know. I mean, I don't know. I like Braden Locke. We're fortunate because it's been a long time since we had depth in the quarterback room. Thank God we did this year.
That you can go down to number two and have a day like that.
Right.
That's great.
Exactly.
You know,
amen.
I think we have a lot of playmakers. Hey, and a lot of depth into skill positions. I don't know how many times over the years we've had that many guys that are giving you that many big plays.
That's right.
It's nice to see.
We would have loved the Braden Locke back in the day that could go throw the ball and do some things. You know, just anything like that. Now, in this dynamic offense that you have.
Throw a spiral.
Yeah.
Throw a spiral.
Fair.
Whatever could you guys be talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
I've been through a few.
You know, to have a guy that could do that is great. He just doesn't have the wheels other guys do, and he's not as tall. But, shoot, if the guy can just execute the offense, take what they give you, and let's go.
With backups at the skill positions too, right? They don't have Chaz Malusi, who stepped away from the team. They don't have Will Pauling, who went down with injury. And they don't have Green, who went down with injury as well. So there,
What was the Bryson Green injury? Do you know?
I have not seen anything about what the official injury was. They did say it was a knee injury. He came out. He was on a bike with a knee brace on. But it seems like hopeful that he will be ready for the game against Rutgers. And Rutgers has a hungry secondary. They had blocked five passes last week against Nebraska. They also got to the quarterback four times. Hopefully they can maybe tighten up, continue the good times for the Badgers offensive line. But you got to come out and get more for your poor. Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is Madison's original brewing company. Award-winning craft beers for 30 years. That's what they've been doing. And now every Monday through Thursday, rather, get from 3 until 6, get 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3. From Crop Circle Wheat to Good Dog IPA to the Old Glory APA, head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale, downtown, or east side and enjoy a bigger and better happy hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about the depth at running back, what that means, and how the depth chart is finally shaken out. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.
Down by the Baltimore, down by the sea, yeah, on a blanket with my baby, that's where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun,
under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking above,
under the boardwalk,
falling in love
under the boardwalk.
From the park near the
man, Riley Yauch with just an absolute wild choice. You know, I sang this song in a barbershop quartet my junior year of high school.
Under the boardwalk?
Under the boardwalk. Yeah, I was the tenor. I was the tenor, so I had the real high notes.
An multi-talented.
I'm a man.
That's impressive.
That explains everything there,
yeah,
Alex.
Yeah, absolutely.
That explains it.
The guys who could sing in my school, they were the ones who
and then you went to your,
popular.
Your, I don't even know what to call it. Ultimate Frisbee, disc golf.
There was no, so hold on. Ultimate Frisbee and disc golf, different things, Derek.
They're well,
different.
I don't know
things.
That.
Disc golf is golf, but instead of, you know, hitting a ball into a hole, you throw a disc into a basket. Ultimate Frisbee is an athletic endeavor. You're running, you're sprinting, you're jumping, you're laying out, you're puncturing lungs, you're breaking ribs. All right, there have been many injuries.
He's a Renaissance man, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tarek likes it already.
This is great. I'll grow my hair, put a little bun up there, let's go.
Can you?
Baby.
That's Tarek Solid. Derek Engler's laughing. We're with Coach Barry Alvarez today. I'm Alex Cravat. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. And while, yes, we love to rib me and my broken ribs, we also want to talk a little bit about Tywee Walker taking over the backfield. He is the running back one. The running back situation did look, for the most part, clearer and a little bit cleaner this game. Wouldn't you agree, Derek?
Well, yeah, it's nice when you have holes like that, number one. I mean, the offensive line did a tremendous job. I was really – I mean, they covered guys up. Jack, he took a guy, I think, 9 yards. This is like an offensive lineman's dream. And then pancaked him in the end zone for a tutty. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that's our tradition. And you know, I hope they keep it going because we're going to need them. We're going to have to stay on the field. Yeah. We're going to have to stay on the field. And I really, truly hope that Coach Longo understands that and leverages the clock in that regard because we can run the football.
Yeah. Absolutely. Coach.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so the Tywee Walker carries it 19 times. He's the clear lead back through the first half. But the depth of this room is still it brings – I'm excited for the future of Wisconsin football too.
Yeah, and the fact that you have a number one, and he knows you get him lathered up. 20 carries is good, but you've got everybody fresh now. And they know when you get in – You better take advantage of it because you may not get another shot for a while because you got so many people in that room that
there's
can play.
There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, Dupree's good. I mean, he gets in there, you know. I mean,
listen, it's always a competition, and you always got to show up. And some days guys get hot. Some guys get
– But it's not – you know, it's not automatic. You're going to get 20. You're going to get 15.
Right.
It's whoever's hot now.
Yeah.
And if you get in there and you're hot, I'm sure they'll stay with them.
And that segues to, like, Chez, right? Like – just if you're three today, you could be one tomorrow. I mean, every week it changes, and if you grind, all of a sudden you're going to become the guy. If you don't, you're going to be in third place. It's the way it goes in football.
Chez Malouf, he's stepping away from football.
Yeah, I hated to see that because I like Chez. I really think he's a good player. Injuries had to have some play in that.
Absolutely. And that's what they claim. That's what he said. That's what the university said, that he stepped away because he'd had to rehab injuries. And he did, right? It was four straight years of basically season-ending injuries. He was banged up. He was injured. And this is a very competitive running back room.
And you know what? And I understand that. And I hope, you know, that truly – I mean, every football player knows when their body's been through it and when maybe the time – I mean, whether it's the NFL or college or whatever. But, you know, I'd hate to see him hit the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not – I can't assume anything. But, like, you know, part of my thing was that he didn't like being – he wanted to be number one. But the point of him being injured, granted it could be the case, and that he just wants to heal his body. And I don't know what he's going to do next year, but – That's all to be determined, right? So we don't know what's going to happen. Thank him for all his hard work.
He's already had like 8 years.
Yeah.
Like,
he can petition for another redshirt here or for a redshirt here and have one more year of eligibility. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And he grinded his butt off. And, you know, kudos to him and thank him for
as hard as he's worked.
Tough player.
It seems like every year the off season is rehab for him.
Right.
And that's, and I can see that in the back of your mind. I don't want to go through that again. Not anticipating that you're going to be injured. But he's consistently been injured and spent 10 months rehabbing to get ready for the next season. He's basically said that. And so I have to take his word for it, and I understand that. I can see that.
That running back position just takes a beating, and that's why those guys in the NFL don't last long. It's a very tough position, and he's worked really hard, and he grinded through a lot of that. You know, thank him for his hard work, and hopefully he heals up.
All right, so we just put it into the ESPN, our Great Dane pub poll question today. Should the Badgers be favored against Rutgers? Currently, the Badgers are 2.5-point underdogs despite putting up excellent numbers, blowing the doors off Purdue. I'm excited. Coach, can you explain to me why the Badgers should be favored in this game?
I think they're a better team. I do. The odds makers don't. they are taking the home field advantage. That's the difference in that spread.
At
is home,
two and a half.
Is
and
home
and
field
half?
Advantage.
Well, you get three for being at home, right?
And the other thing maybe? Is, you know, you take the first half of both Alabama and USC, right? You know, whatever we did in the second halves of both of those games was unacceptable. Got out coached really in the second half. USC made no adjustments. at 11-point lead. Never, ever should that happen. You know, Alabama, you can't – obviously, we had the miscues against a team like that, and then a two-play, 70-some-yard touchdown right before the second halftime.
Yeah.
You just can't have that. So, really, truly, what this team, and offensively, more than anything, is you stay on the field and you completely pound their ass and stay on the field. And Longo is creative enough where we can get stuff and move it down the field. And you know what? We're scoring. That's great. Right? But, you know, you have to leverage that and continue to be committed to the run, because we have our offensive line clicking right now, and that's good for the horses we got.
And we really threw it well, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought we threw it extremely well. A lot of targets, a lot of different targets stepped up. And you know, I kept – we got to run it more. But when you're throwing it like that –
yeah, that's okay.
And you have a little cushion. You know, that makes it very difficult for the next preparation for your defensive coordinator to defend. What are they going to defend? What do you hang your hat on? What are they best at, running or throwing?
And I'm really impressed with you know, we had three penalties, right? So penalties, miscues, you know, special teams, muff punts. You can't have that, right?
Yeah.
We don't have the luxury of having those miscues.
And we were better than them in all those categories. And so we got to continue to do that. And that was the difference in a lot of these games, were the turnovers, the missed field goal, you know, the short the fourth and ones.
I don't know if I've ever seen a team start off with more game-swinging, momentum-swinging moments on special teams. There's been a punt block or a punt drop from either team in almost every game. What's going on with that?
I got a feeling our punter – I was thinking about this. I think every game our opponent drops a punt. The ball must come off his foot funny.
Well, he's Australian. So
he puts that Australian spin on it. It's the opposite spin.
Yeah,
yeah.
About other side of the earth, you know.
Everybody he's punted to has dropped
a rugby ball.
they grow up punting differently in Australia, you know.
Rugby,
yeah, it's rugby ball.
Yeah, so he puts
it a lot bigger. He hits it so hard it's getting movement on the ball.
Absolutely. This is the Great Dan Huddle, 844-770-3776.
The three of us know a hell of a lot about – well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Tarek and I know a lot about special teams.
Excellent.
Hey, there are three phases, right? We treated special teams as a huge emphasis team under Coach Alvarez, and I don't think it's any different with Fickell. He knows it's important. And
But I will say unanimously, we all hated specialists.
We all hated specialists.
Yeah,
just kickers, though, right?
Kickers, punters, same.
Holders,
kickers.
Long snappers, holders, punters, kickers.
My co-host.
That's why you see them. They're, by the way, they're in the locker room while we're out.
They're like
we're
they're like the frisbee guys.
Yeah,
that's what they're like.
Touche.
My co-host, Wisconsin College Game Day, Brad Norman, might have a few choice words for you guys.
Yeah. But Brad was a hell of a punter, so you know.
He was.
We would have loved to have Brad.
all right, really, really quick, before we get to break here, I want to just bring it back. I've got one interesting stat, and I want to catch your thoughts on this, Coach. Before the last drive of the first half, the Badgers, Braden Locke, was 5 of 13 for 84 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions with fantastic offensive line play. But that's not a great stat line. What fortitude do you have to go back to a guy at that point and let him keep cooking all second half?
Well, the fact that they had a lead helps. And his coach has confidence in him. And he knows we've got to get him better and we've got to get him confidence. And obviously he had very good coaching and communication between he and the receivers. And then – all of a sudden, things start perking, working, and clicking, and here we go. And you get rhythm and confidence, and there's the difference.
Absolutely. And coming up next, I want to talk a little bit about what the importance was for catching this confidence. This was obviously a huge win for the Badgers, 52-6, a 46-point pummeling of Purdue. We're going to learn where the confidence is coming from next on the Great Dane Huddle. 52-6, Purdue just decimated by the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm Alex Cravat. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. 844-770-3776. I'm alongside Badger legends Barry Alvarez, Tarek Salah, and Derek Angler. Now, I'm curious, what does the importance of a win like this for a team, for a locker room, mean early on in a season, Coach?
Confidence. And it gives a lot of guys an opportunity to play, so your morale is good. Your morale in the locker room is good. They know what the coaches are telling them is legitimate. And so now it's the coach's job this week to keep them level-headed. And still go in and correct the mistakes. There were a lot of mistakes. You go back and you correct the mistakes, make sure they understand it, not to be satisfied. That's the job they have to do. But the momentum that they can build off of this and the confidence they can build are certainly really important.
You know, and for Braden Locke, you know, I think in that second half, you know, the light could turn on and things slow down, and he could make plays and have the confidence now to move forward. I know when I was playing, like, you first go into a stadium and you're looking at everything. You're looking at the 80,000th person in the stadium, and you're like, you're overwhelmed with that. And as you get better, it kind of narrows down and it goes all the way. Now I'm looking, you know, when I started my sophomore year after a tough freshman year, I'm looking at the, you know, the foot of the tackle and the hip and like the reads all the way through, and you have better vision and things slow down, and that's when you're going to have success. So there's moments where that light just turns on, and then you have that. And hopefully Brandon gained that confidence in the second half.
Well, I agree with Coach. I mean, when you have a win like that, it is truly a team win, because all of a sudden yep. You got participation of guys that maybe wouldn't play. And that's just a locker room deal. And everybody's all in, you know, when everybody gets to participate in a victory like that. So, I'm really, really looking forward to see what they bring out to New Jersey.
And you know what? Yet one other thing, you had all three phases played well. It just wasn't one phase carrying it.
Exactly.
All three played well.
And so, what's the difference between this and, say, a win over Western Michigan, where it's 28-14? You double your opponent, right? You did dominate, even if it was not quite what we expected. But what's the difference between that and a true domination?
Yeah, it shows that you're improving, and that this is what you're capable of doing. This is what we anticipated you could do against Western and
South Dakota.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, you came off two losses, right? See, these kids could hang their head and not respond.
Well, that's right.
And then you could lose the team. I mean, to get these guys to come back and play at a level that's
well, I mean, like, that's yeah. Good. I mean, to Tarek's point, I mean, after US last week, there was the Braylon Allen social media, you know, tweet or post or whatever, and then you have Chez, you know.
Yeah, that could be a distraction.
I mean, that's all right, exactly. And to be able to just respond that way is, I mean, that
speaks volumes to your team chemistry and leadership.
The last 2 weeks, you know, you play Alabama, game day's here. Then you go on one of the biggest stages in the Coliseum. You lose both, you know, in a tough way. It's an 11 a.m. game. They could have mailed it in. Very easily. It's the 11 a.m. games are tough. You know what I mean? They don't, you know, get up early and you got to be ready to roll. And they got after it.
So I'm trying not to overreact.
I always like the 1 o'clock games.
What about the 1 o'clock games?
1992. That was my freshman year. That Coach, remember those games?
Those 1
o'clock.
Public broadcasting.
They weren't on TV.
They're public.
They're public. Yeah, the local TV.
You know, they used to show the coin
Sunday night. We'd be in the KK Saturday night watching.
You get the coin toss and everything. You get like,
what would you, at the KK? So you'd go out to one of the local places and you'd watch the game.
Yeah, they replay it,
just like with a bunch of random people there.
Well, no, I mean the patrons of the local bar. Yeah, I mean everybody knows the establishment, but yeah.
Speaking of, I think that's
what they did Saturday night. It started at 11 and played till 2. And
this whole thing started with Kevin Zeitler coming out for the coin toss. Do you see him? He looks like the Hulk Hogan.
He
Hulk.
He is.
I mean, unbelievable.
Massive
he
community.
Intimidated the Purdue team. I think that's the theory here.
They were hoping he didn't suit up.
Oh, my God. That guy's
that's
a beast.
Like, anytime we'd go to a bowl game, any function we'd have, I'd get our biggest guy. I'd send Gibby up. Anytime, there was always competition.
Coach, remember Tucson?
Yeah.
Oh, you put Gibby right in front.
I put him right in front. Everything we did, put Gibby out in front. He's probably weighed 400 then.
Yeah.
385. He trimmed down. And we'd put him right out in front of everything. You know, you have any type of team competition or teams being together, he's going to be in front of everything.
This is so my mom growing up, she's tall. There's a reason I'm tall and big. She's also tall and big. When she was in high school, she covered the football team for the high school paper. And after a couple of their linemen had gone down, the football coach had her suited up in pads to come out with the team because she was bigger than half the guys on the team to intimidate the other team when they went away to Keele, I think. So there's something to that all through the generations.
That's great.
844-770-3776. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Badger legends Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. Now, obviously, we don't want to overreact. It's been a kind of up-and-down season. But 3-2 is not a bad spot to be in. We just proved that we can hang with Big Ten teams again. As we look forward, what excites you about the next couple games? I know Jim Rutledge mentioned that this could be the start of a good 3-game win streak going into what is another real tough situation.
I don't like to look at it like that. I really don't. I mean, this Rutgers team is literally, they're legit. And if our mindset is not right, and I mean this is like a Jersey brawl, like, you know, yeah, just a, like we're going out in the back of the bar, and this is knuckles,
it's a street fight.
Yeah, it is a street fight. That's truly what it is. You come out of this and then you go to, I know Northwestern's not playing, they're playing kind of by the lake
tennis court,
and the soccer deal,
which makes it difficult.
Yes,
the atmosphere really makes it difficult because it's like playing in a bad
festival.
Practice situation.
Exactly. It's like playing at a festival. It's like everyone's going to be just sitting with blankets.
Not to make it about me again, but I've played Ultimate Frisbee there. That's where the pro team in Chicago plays.
Good Lord.
It's exactly a good place to be.
You're making our point then, G-Man. That's tough. I mean, to go out there, I mean, because, you know, Northwestern's always circled us from way back to coach's days, obviously. You know, it just has been a rivalry throughout the decades, and more so on their part, obviously. I think, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, was it Coach Barnett that said we're going to be the next Wisconsin Badgers? After we won the Rose Bowl in 94?
Yeah, they went the next year.
Yeah, they did.
But they lost.
They got beat.
They got beat. And then that was it.
Tell all those guys, Paul Janis, Justin Chabot, you lost.
Well, we had some local kids that went there and played.
Yeah.
So after last week, I might have needed more convincing. And let's talk about that now. Can you convince me that we are the next Wisconsin Badgers after those two early season losses, after a struggle against the first two games? Now we've won a game 52-6. Are we the next Wisconsin Badgers?
I think we took the next step. I think the next two games are going to tell you that, because these are teams very equal to us. You're going to be in a four-quarter game. They're going to be physical. Both teams are well-coached, and we'll see if we can play it. Four quarters. It's going to be a tighter game, a different type of game than this past one was.
I'm really looking forward to. I mean, everybody talks about Longo offense. You know, this blah 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 blah. I want to see if Coach Tressel and Coach Fickell can coach our linebackers up next two games. That's what I want to see. I mean, literally, that's what I want to see.
We need to dominate the line of scrimmage. We got guys that can do it. We got to scrape and make tackles, and that'll be a huge deal if that front seven could at least slow them down. They need to do that.
The D line has, you know, I mean, obviously we lost our best one in James Thompson start of the year.
They've been hanging in there.
Yeah,
it's the linebackers that
I know. And so to my point,
yep.
I mean, who does that's on Coach Tressel, and ultimately Coach Fickell's a defensive guy, right? So the onus is on him to get those guys right, because We're going to need, in a 3-4, you kind of need linebackers.
And, Rutgers, they're going to try and expose that, and we got to be ready to go. So, listen, there's a lot of great things that we took away from that game, a lot of things we could learn from. And, listen, this is a clean slate now. We're at a point where we could have a great year, and it's going to be that 1-0 mentality.
Yeah, and the schedule gets tougher. You're going to have to play better, continue to improve.
If you do create some momentum and you go out to Rutgers and get that victory and then go to Northwestern, home against Penn State, that creates a little bit – that's an exciting atmosphere. That is a very exciting atmosphere. And you never know what can happen. We just saw what happened to Alabama.
Last thought on the schedule looking forward. Minnesota just beat USC. I personally didn't love that. But we've got Jesse Nelson, content manager, the producer of Wildy and Tausch 9 and Noon. He said he likes it because it keeps P.J. Fleck around, and that gives him confidence. Keep rowing his boat?
Yeah.
All right. Janesville Kia, right off the Interstate 90, is only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way they'd like to be treated, and that's why they are up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over the state of Wisconsin have experienced the difference of Janesville Kia and told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia. We got to talk a little bit about wide receivers, both in the NFL and on the Badgers. Coming up next, it is the Great Dane Huddle. Great Dane Huddle rolls on, wraps up here in Fitchburg on 100.5 ESPN. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside the Badger legends, Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and, of course, Coach Barry Alvarez. Now, I teased it before the break. There's been some drama in the wide receiver world. Now, not really so much here in Wisconsin. We had a couple injuries, but everyone stepped up and looked great. In Green Bay, it's a little bit different, right? We've got Romeo Doubs, who is sitting out and just skipping practices because he doesn't feel he's getting the ball enough. The Packers suspend him for the game. He doesn't dress. He doesn't come. Now, he'll likely continue to play with the team, but what do you guys think about that? Just skipping practices, no show, no call?
I hate that. I hate when a player is so selfish that it's more about him than it is his team. The coach is making decisions on who he's going to throw to according to a game plan and matchups, et cetera, et cetera. And if you just don't, you're not getting the ball, you're not getting open enough, or haven't been. Or, there's a reason why you're not getting it. And if you're going to sit around and pout, then maybe you shouldn't be on the team.
Yeah. He loses all respect in the locker room.
Yeah.
All respect in the locker room.
So there's one thing to sit out for the public there. When you're going in the camp and you think you deserve this big contract, and certain guys, they kind of know their worth and everybody knows it, and they just kind of got to get a negotiated deal done. A lot like CeeDee Lamb or
Jamar Chase.
That's one thing. This is like in the middle of the deal. This is why we have contracts. I mean, this is what prevents the UNLV thing to happen in the NFL. Look, we signed you. This is the deal. You got to earn your way. And you know what? There's a long season. You have plenty of time to, make catches. And listen, it's equal opportunities. You can just go do it, and you'll be fine. But to do that, it is selfish.
Well, one of the things that's really interesting about this is there were only two games with Jordan Love before that point. So we were playing with Malik Willis, and at that point, it's an entirely different situation. And it just kind of blows my mind that any player would no call, no show, and expect to still be involved on the team.
Well, I think Coach did the right thing, and as far as if it were me, he'd no longer be on the team. He made the decision. He no longer wants to be on this team. He's more concerned about his stats than winning games. My job is to win games.
This is a code red situation.
If I'm the head coach, if I'm the GM, talk to the head coach and basically say, get your leaders in the locker room and let them handle it. I mean, literally, because I can tell you, that's why I said the locker room doesn't want him. They don't want him. They don't want him. They don't want him. A guy that's going to quit on your teammates, you don't want him.
So we don't normally as players, we don't mess with someone's money. So if he thinks, and everybody knows, again, if you deserve a certain amount of money, we don't get in negotiation of that. But if you're going to be a punk,
right,
and quit
and shut it down and be MIA for practice,
then you're going to be like, shamed. You're going to be shamed in submission. You know what I mean?
So
that's the code red right there.
Why is that?
Well, just you're
did
just
you hear what code red
you're
is
shamed and
no,
submission.
I'd be shamed. You're just gonna, you don't know what code red is.
Well, I know about code.
You don't know what a code red is?
I know what a code red is, but I wasn't sure if there was something specifically that you guys were talking
about. You're not going to get beat up, but you're going to be shamed and be like, "Hey, listen, this is not a, you know, you don't quit on your team. You just don't do that."
I mean, is there a way to regain face in the locker room after that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, go out there and go to practice every day. You'd be fine.
Put your head down and say, "You know what? I made a mistake," and then make plays on game day.
Guys want other guys to play. We want you to play. We want everyone to step up. And if you're
that's how you earn your money.
Absolutely.
All the receivers want the ball. The backs want the ball.
Quarterback wants to sling it.
Well, they all want the ball.
Yeah.
So the Badgers had the opposite problem this weekend, right? They had a wealth of opportunity. Everybody got some chances, and it really shined. So when we look at it, you know, What have you seen from Chetra Kekahuna, who had his big coming out party? He had 6 receptions for 134 yards, 2 touchdowns, along of 69. I mean, just a huge day. Well, is he someone that we need to keep our eye on? I mean, you mentioned V8 earlier, Vinny Anthony.
Love him, but, you know, Tretch, he is a spark plug now. I mean, he's tough, and you know, once he gets that ball, I mean, it's boom. It is boom. And
he's got explosion. And he's got a vision. He makes things happen after he gets it. It's not catch the ball and fall down or one step and fall.
Totally.
He's going to run through tackles. He's going to make people miss. I was really impressed with him.
He's got different gear, Coach, right? Yeah. I mean, to your guys' point, I mean, I don't know if he's a 4-4, 4-3, but that's speed we haven't seen a lot of over the last 5 years.
I don't know
years.
If it was Bama or USC with V8, with Vinny Anthony with that return. That's when I'm like, ooh, boy, I think we were on a group text, and I said, this cat is, he's a player.
Well, the Badgers will be heading, and hopefully Tretch Kekahuna can have a big game. They're heading to Rutgers this weekend. They are 2.5-point favorites, according to our Twitter poll, underdogs. According to our Twitter poll, 70% of people think that is an appropriate grade, that they be underdogs in this one.
We love being underdogs.
Perfect.
We love being underdogs. This has been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. See you next week.